Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I did not forget the gospel. This morning we began with the gospel outside from the 11th chapter of Mark, and we will finish later this morning with the gospel that is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. How quickly this morning we went from triumphant joy to the suffering servant, to melancholy sadness, to overwhelming emotions. Palm Sunday is always a very interesting day. The last days of Jesus' life here on earth, we celebrate by waving palm branches as we come in to our space. We join our voices together, making that great proclamation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Those prophetic words from Psalm 118, looking forward to the time when the true King of Israel would enter to rule in prosperity, in wisdom, and in truth. And then, a little while later, we leave this morning in silence after having listened to the passion of Jesus Christ, his arrest, trial, his torture, and his death. We begin in triumphant joy and leave, perhaps with a perplexing sadness. There's a movie that came out recently. I don't get to watch a lot of movies, but and this one didn't come out too recently, but there's a new movie on the life of Napoleon Bonaparte that came out in the last year or so, and it's a pretty dramatic and action-filled movie, though I would say it's historically inadequate in some places, inaccurate at worst, inadequate at best. But what it does, though, is it does focus on Napoleon's rise to power. His rise to power fueled by the uprising of the French people, revolting against the monarchy. The people of France were very supportive at this time of the American Revolution that was taking place a few years prior. Very supportive in the American Revolution, overwhelmingly supportive of the cause, even sent many troops to come over and assist with that. Our little revolution here on the North American continent, led by farmers and merchants, really did spark the flames of larger revolution all over the world, all over Europe, especially in France. Revolution is likely what many of the people had in mind when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. The people were tired of the oppressive regime of the Roman Empire. They were ready to govern themselves. We can govern ourselves. They needed a king of their own, like the other nations. And now this man, Jesus, whom they have all heard about, some of them have even seen and heard him along the way, Jesus has made his way into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. After 3 years of public ministry where he performed miracles, where he taught truths, where he raised the expectations and brought light to the darkest places, Jesus was now coming to the end of his earthly ministry, his earthly life, and would indeed be made king. Though crowned with thorns and enthroned upon a cross, the people of Israel always wanted a king. 1,000 years before Jesus, the people of Israel came to the prophet Samuel demanding Now appoint for us a king to judge us like the other nations. Give to us a king to judge us. Samuel was greatly angered by this, as he had been prophesying and telling the people of the sovereignty of God, of the rule of God for many, many years. But the Lord spoke to Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people. Give them what they want. For they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. They have rejected me from being king over them. Give us a king like the other nations. I believe the emotional highs and lows of today's service are representative of sentiments like that in Scripture. The people of Israel wanted a king. They thought Jesus was going to be the king. They wanted Jesus to be the king, the start of the revolution. They didn't want it to happen the way it happened. They did not want him to become king in the way that it took place. Some thought that the sparks of revolution had been lit. The flames were being fanned now, and this was going to take hold. The revolution was beginning. Some wanted to use the influence of Jesus to bring revolution against that Roman rule, the oppression. They didn't realize that the king did arrive into Jerusalem that day. He was riding on a donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. He was being praised. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The kingdom of David is now being restored. It was time for the coronation of the king. Though the revolution that was sparked was a revolution of humbleness, of weakness, of peace, of sobriety, of forgiveness. And a few days after Jesus entered Jerusalem on that donkey, surrounded by the palm branches, would be the night that he told Peter to drop his sword. What kind of revolutionary requires his militia to abandon weapons? The revolution was different. This was a different, a new revolution. Weakness to the world is made strong by the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, certainly, he could have come into the world as a great revolutionary military leader, but he chose differently. He chose humility and humbleness. The people thought a revolution was beginning, and indeed it was. But the revolution was actually taken out of control, was taken out of the control of those who desired the power. This is the way it had to happen. This is the way that it was supposed to happen. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Not the abolishment, but the fulfillment, fulfilling what it truly means to have salvation, truth, grace, forgiveness, and redemption. The cheers that happen on Palm Sunday are quickly replaced by tears and in confusion on Friday. We cannot control that. The revolution was in humility and humbleness. We cannot control that. We can control how we respond. How do we respond to this revolution sparked by Jesus Christ that happened in a way that none of us ever could have thought or imagined? Many of us here today are used to being in control. We like being in control. We like to control our finances, our businesses, our families, our loved ones, our investments, our social standing, our careers, other people, our addictions, shame, guilt. We want to be in control over the things that so easily have control over us. We want a king like the other nations. Perhaps I am the one who wants to be king. Napoleon's revolution in France was to overthrow the monarchy and establish a republic. Yet, soon after this took place, he declared himself king and bringing in a new monarchy. The Lord has always been king. The Lord has always been king. How do we respond to his kingship, to his authority? Do we truly trust that he is good and sovereign? Or do we need to have the appearance of constant control? Today is the beginning of Holy Week. The last days of Jesus on earth, the final days of the season of Lent. We have been in the realization of things in our lives that we should not control, and we have been in the realization and the recognition of the absolute need for Jesus in each one of our lives. We can choose to respond to Jesus' humility and to his kingship in the appropriate ways. So this Holy Week, beginning today, I invite you, take inventory over the things you control. Take inventory over the things that we like to control. What are the things that occupy our minds? What are the things that take our attentions? What are the things that steal our affections? What are the values that extend beyond the authority and influence of Holy Scripture? How much time do we spend on things of the world rather than focusing on the true King that we proclaimed as we entered into this space of worship this morning? This is a political year. How much is that going to affect us? What I consider the greatest time in the year for sports is upon us right now. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have the Masters. March Madness is happening right now. And baseball opening day. Well, will I spend more time watching and reading Scripture and praying? Or will I spend more time sitting in front of the TV watching golf, basketball, and baseball? This Holy Week, we all do well to remember that Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So therefore, the invitation is there. The invitation is there for each one of us to behold the glory of God through this Holy Week. So I ask you to allow the liturgy, the things that we do, the ways that we pray, the reading of Scripture, allow the liturgy of this week to form who you are, what you do, how you respond to the Savior of the world. The Scriptures that we will read and focus on show us the glory of our King as he is crowned and lifted high upon his throne. Thorns and a cross. Blood-stained forgiveness. Redemption for us all. the great paschal trigem. Another one of those great liturgical words, the trigem. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. Mark the passion, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these coming days, beginning today, yes, they are solemn. They are solemn, yet ultimately and still make the great proclamation that we made this morning. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.